One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Loving to do things my way, which, you know what? That's my disease as an oldest sibling. An oldest sibling with perfect taste. Sorry, sometimes my way is the best way.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is feeling very comfy cozy today, because today is really the first real snow day in New York in what feels like years. I'm recording this episode on Sunday, February 9th, and I woke up this morning to see a winter freaking wonderland out there, okay? There is a considerable amount of snow out there, and there's like snowbanks. The streets look dirty and disgusting. It's kind of awesome. I really missed seeing this amount of snow in general, especially in New York. I feel like I haven't seen snow like this in so long. Like, when I moved to New York in 2015, we got a lot of snow that, like, 2015, 2016 winter. I want to say January 2016 was the winter where all the streets were shut down and people were sledding in the streets, that like Casey Neistat video that people I'm sure have seen. I'm pretty sure that was January 2016, the first like winter that I had in New York. And I just think our winters have been getting easier and easier ever since then. And especially the last like 2 or 3 years, we've barely gotten any snow at all. We've been like, I don't know, you get like little whispers of snow happening, but none of it sticks. So it's so nice to see snow actually sticking. And it's so weird to watch snow, the like experience of snow, become something that feels nostalgic, because it just doesn't happen much anymore, which makes me so sad. God. Yeah, you know what? I actually can't even get into that because then I'm going to have a climate crisis spiral. But I just remember having so much snow growing up. And now it's like I just never get to see it. My favorite weather. My favorite possible weather. Snow. A snow day. And I never fucking get snow days anymore, bro. It's so disgusting. It is disgusting. So anyways, I am enjoying the fact that today is a cozy, comfy, stay inside all day type snow day. It started snowing last night when I was out with my friends. We did a little restaurant roulette last night. This is the second one we did. This is the first time where I wasn't choosing the spot. If you don't know what restaurant roulette is, let me tell you. Basically, my friends and I started doing this thing called restaurant roulette, where one person picks a restaurant and they just make a reservation for it. Don't tell anyone else where the reservation is. They just give you a date, a time, and a bar nearby to meet up at, as well as like any attire notes or a general price range for the night so people can know what to expect. I planned the first one, so there was no surprise element for me there. So this was the first one that I had no hand in planning and got to just experience the magic of having no idea where you're eating dinner before you show up to the restaurant. So we ended up going to Evelina's in Fort Greene. It's an Italian spot, and it was so much fun. There's a few things in life I enjoy more than, one, being surprised, two, having other people plan for me, and three, having a glass of wine with my besties. Like, what's better than those three things? Quickly tell me what's better than those three things. So it started snowing while we were out at dinner, which honestly, just the ambiance of it all made it so much better. We were sitting in like a corner booth, a bunch of windows to the street, the snow just coming down. Like, oh, we really had it so good last night. Those are the moments, the little mental Polaroid pictures that I am just snapping away, okay? I'm filling up this memory card up here with photos of shit like that. And then, of course, I got to come home to my cutie sweets, Miss Mango, and my foster kitten, Rock, Paper, Scissors, RPS, which I honestly, I've stopped calling her RPS because I'm like, no, she deserves to be called by her full government name, Miss Rock, Paper, Scissors. It's fucking awesome. Like, the amount of people that I've met, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I have a foster kitten, Rock, Paper, Scissors, and they're like, is that three cats or is it her full name is Rock, Paper, Scissors? I'm like, no, that her full name is Rock, Paper, Scissors. And it's awesome. But she has turned into such a little sweetheart. She has finally started sleeping in her bed that I set up for her when she first got here. She was hissing at me from behind that toilet for what felt like forever. But now she is the cutest, sweetest little girl ever, becoming way more social. So I'm thinking, as exciting as it is to see her start to warm up to me, this also means that she will be leaving me soon, probably, so that she can go be reunited with one of her siblings. She was with me solo so that she could be socialized. And now that she likes people, it's like she's graduating. Fuck. It's hard not to get attached to these cats. I just feel like some of them I attach to more easily than others. And she was one that I just really took a liking to. I think the ones that are, I don't know, they're a little shy, they're hiding, they're anxious. Those ones I like seem to really attach to because that's how Mango was. And so I think, I don't know, I love Mango more than I've ever loved anything that's ever been alive ever on this earth. So I think that other animals that remind me of Mango, I'm just like, and now I'm taking a liking to you too. Like the ones that are scared and like a little like distrusting, I'm like, I'm gonna make you love people and feel love and held and warm and like, oh, the world could never hurt you because that's how it should be. That's how you should feel as a beautiful, gorgeous, tiny little innocent baby kitten. Oh my God. So yeah, I'm preparing myself to have to part ways with her soon. And I'm going on a vacation with my family in 3 days, so I'll probably end up passing her off before I leave. But who knows, maybe I'll get her back when I'm back from my vacation. I don't know. Or I'll be placed with new foster kittens. But it really is like we have accomplished what we intended to accomplish with her. She's been socialized. I do think that she's ready to be reunited with her siblings, so I might just have to say goodbye, even though it's hard, but this is part of the process. I have to let go. I can't think about it. I just have to let go and move on, and that's fine. And this is all part of the process of fostering. Some of them you're just gonna fucking latch on to more than the others. But geez, what a girl, what a little sweetheart she is. Happy Galentine's, everybody. Happy Galentine's, happy Valentine's. I have been thinking so much the last few weeks about grand gestures, the art of a grand gesture, and how I really feel like it's becoming a lost art. And I'm saying this right now because I feel like everyone needs to turn it the fuck back on. You know what I mean? We need to get back into a grand gesture. And I think my parameters for what a grand gesture is like pretty wide, right? Like, I think many things can be grand gestures. It's really just like a level of thoughtfulness and courage. It's like when you combine thoughtfulness and courage together, that's a grand gesture to me. Something that took a lot of thought and that you definitely had to think through emotionally, logistically, whatever it is. And it takes some amount of courage or bravery. It's some kind of leap of faith. You're bearing your heart. You're being intimate and vulnerable in some kind of way. Combining those two things, thoughtfulness and courage, little sprinkle of vulnerability. Okay. That is a grand gesture. And I think that it's becoming a lost art. Not to the romantics, right? Like, the romantics eat, sleep, live, and breathe for a grand gesture. However, I have some thoughts and reflections, and perhaps a little bit of a self-critique that sort of connects here. We'll get to it. You'll just listen to my full thoughts, okay? Because I've got lots of them inside my head. I have a beautiful mind. I feel like in hindsight, in this like period of singlehood that I'm in, I have realized, and actually it's not even just relationships, it's friendships too. I do this in all of my relationships, but I have realized that I think I tee people up too often. I'll start just talking about it from the romantic perspective, but then I'm going to loop into the friendship stuff as well, because I think it all connects to a similar self-read, a kind and gentle one, okay? But I think looking at it from the romantic perspective, because I have struggled with anxious attachment in the past and in general am just, you know, excruciatingly aware of how intimidating or stressful dating can be, it's hard to put yourself out there. I feel like I've had quite a bit of practice at it at this point, so I'm maybe not as shook up by it as the normal person. I mean, I famously said that I love first dates. So I feel like knowing this about myself and also just being like very aware that it's sort of like it's a hard thing for a lot of people. And for myself included, sometimes I won't act like it's never fucking an intimidating thing to me, but I always want the people that I'm interested in to feel loved on and appreciated and desired. I always want the people that I'm interested in to know that I am interested in them. I am a woman of no mystery, okay? I just remember there was one time a few years ago when I went on Meg's podcast for the first time, and I was talking about how I think when I was younger, I always felt this like, you know, this pressure to be cool girl, this pressure to be like so mysterious and hot and whatever. And Meg was like, well, you're definitely hot, but yeah, you're for sure not mysterious. And I was like, no, and you're right. I'm not mysterious, and I've never been mysterious, and I never will be mysterious. And I think it connects here where it's like, I'm never going to bottle up how I feel about someone. I'm never going to play. I like actually physically can't. It is not possible for me to play it cool and pretend I'm just not that into someone so that they'll chase me harder. That's baby games to me. Okay. If I like you, if I'm interested in you, I will tell you. I will not go to bed at night with my thoughts locked in a cage and just like, well, I guess I'll never say it. I will never do that. If I am bursting at the seams, have to tell someone how I feel, it's to that level, then I always fucking will. You know what I mean? Like, I've had passing, like fleeting baby crushes in life that I've never acted on or said anything about because it wasn't that big of a deal to me. However, when something is a big deal to me, when I have a big major crush on someone, you will know. You will know, everyone else will know, I will know, God will know, okay? There is no person on earth who won't fucking know if I like you. I have an inability to keep those things inside of me. I want the people that I'm seeing, casually, seriously, whoever it is, anybody in my orbit, friends, everyone close to me, I want them to feel loved on and appreciated and really desired by me. And I think that ultimately that is a great quality. It is awesome to be the kind of person who wears their heart on their sleeve and tells people exactly how you feel about them when you feel that like urge to not bottle things up, to let it all out. I think it's fucking awesome. Net positive for sure. However, I think sometimes, not always, I am talking in very specific contexts here, and I'll elaborate. You let me get there. Stop typing your comments. Delete it. Delete it. Let me finish this whole segment, okay? I think sometimes, not always, it is nice to have someone do the scary thing, to take the leap of faith, to, you know, wear their heart on their sleeve for you without you having to tee them up and make them so comfortable to make that leap first. I want to be sought after. I want to be impressed. I want someone else to do the grand gesture, to do the scary thing, to make the leap of faith there, to tell me, to blurt out exactly how they feel about me because they just fucking have to. That it's like deep within themselves, they couldn't not if they tried. That is what I want. I have done that so many times in my life. I am so often the leader. I am so often the initiator. I am so often the person that does the scary thing. And that's awesome for me. And it's like a wonderful way to live. And I'm proud of myself for getting to a point where that is my truth. And I am this kind of person. I'm not dunking on that at all. I think this is an awesome trait. I am so often the one doing the scary thing. I am so often the one saying, hey, I think you're cute. Do you want to grab drinks on Tuesday? Hey, I think you're really cute. And I think you think I'm really cute. So why haven't you asked me on a date yet? Like, I am so often the person that is saying the scary thing, doing the scary thing, taking the leap of faith. I am usually the one making moves. And that's not a bad thing. Again, this is a side of myself that I really like. And I'm proud that I've reached a place where I do feel comfortable just going after the things that I want in life. And, you know, it's like baby feminism over here. Like, I don't want to wait around for a man to like work up the courage to make it happen with me. If I want him, if I want someone, I will pursue them. I am not about this like, oh, women shouldn't make the first move. Women should just sit back and I hate that shit. I fucking hate it. If I want to do something, if I feel passionately about something, I will fucking act on it, period, point blank. I think that's an awesome way to be. However, it's also fair for me to want other people to put themselves out there for me. And to want someone to do the scary thing, to do the uncomfortable thing where you don't know, you could be rejected, super fucking harsh, right? The worst case scenario could happen. I mean, I'm sure that I'm such a sweetie. Who would ever think that they'd get worst case scenario for me? I might reject you, but I'll be nice about it, you know? But I just feel like I have often really teed people up, you know? I like set up the fucking tee. I put the ball there. I give him the bat. I even maybe give him a little how-to on how to get the perfect swing. All they have to do is hit the fucking ball. And I think the more I've thought about it in this era of singlehood, the more comfortable I am with my solitude. Obviously, the more I'm like, well, I'll always be my affectionate, open, vulnerable self because that's true to me and I will always be this person. I have no desire to change that part of myself, but there's lines to everything. And I think I'm getting more comfortable with just letting people show up how they're going to show up. Learning to stop teeing people up all the time. Be honest, be open, be vulnerable, and also clock when you are trying to totally alleviate any kind of, you know, nerves that someone may have when going for you and trying to impress you. Sometimes other people need to do the scary thing and you shouldn't be taking away that scary part for them all the time. Do you get what I'm saying? It's sometimes, not always. If you meet me on the level that I'm at, then fucking awesome. Do the grand gesture. Say the scary thing. Bare your heart to me in the very same way that I have to you in the past, assumably, because God knows I couldn't keep it in if I fucking tried. But I don't want to tee you up to make saying those things so fucking easy. I don't want to remove the stakes, you know? Of course there's high stakes. I'm fucking me. I'm Maddie Drosbeck. Yes, the stakes are high. I don't want to remove those high stakes for you. I want you to do the brave thing. I want you to do the grand gesture because that's what's romantic to me. And if you want to be with me, that is what it takes. And let me emphasize here that this take is coming from the mouth of a woman who has consistently made the first move in most of her relationships and has consistently been the more vocal one across the board. And again, acknowledging this truth won't stop me from being that person because that is who I am at my core. However, I think that is important for me as an independent, do-it-yourself kind of woman to remember that it's okay to let people take their own time. And it's okay to let people work up the courage. It's okay to let people be a little nervous. And that I don't need to constantly make every experience easier for other people. Let people take their own time, build their own courage, and like do the scary thing all on their own. And maybe I would feel better for it too. And I think this also comes up in friendships in a kind of a different way, but similar, and maybe points to me being an impatient person and also just like loving to do things my way, which, you know what, that's my disease as an oldest sibling. An oldest sibling with perfect taste. Sorry, sometimes my way is the best way. But like, I think sometimes in friendship, like, I am a planner. I'm an organizer. I'm a hostess. I love bringing people together. I love hosting people at my apartment. I love doing grand gestures for my friends. It's something that makes me feel really good. I have a lot of fun planning it and just getting it all together. It's very fulfilling and creative for me. I love it. It's so much fun. And also, I love being a guest. I love being invited to other things that other people plan. It's fun for me to get to take the hostess hat off and let other people treat me. Life is all about balance, you know? It's all about fucking balance. And sometimes things get a little bit out of balance. But sometimes I fear that perhaps it is my fault that it is out of balance. And it's like, maybe I feel like I'm planning constantly. I'm just planning. And I might have a thought in my head like, why is nobody else planned? Why isn't nobody invited me to something? I would love to be invited to something. Oh. And maybe I get a little, you know, a little butthurt about it for a moment. And then I sit and I think, and I'm like, are these people not planners? Or am I just not giving them the opportunity to plan? Am I just constantly being the one to take the initiative to operate on the timeline that's in my own brain, that I'm not giving people enough space and time to operate on their own timelines? And maybe if I just shut the fuck up for a second, other people would plan things? When I was talking through this in therapy and I came to that conclusion and then ultimately watched it play out before my very eyes, I was like, God damn it. Because like, yes, it is about balance. I enjoy planning and I enjoy being the host. And also it's normal and it's human to want to feel like your relationships are reciprocal. But I think sometimes I am so wrapped up on like my own timeline of when I want to plan this, when I want to do that, this thing that we, you know, talked about in passing, who's going to plan it. And instead of just letting it sit and giving other people time to step in and to, you know, plan, to do the grand gesture, to set something up, instead of just letting it sit in that middle space, I think sometimes I anxiously just go to be the initiator, go to be the planner, because I'm like, well, is it going to happen if I don't say it? Like, what if I don't say it and we just never have this thing planned? Again, I think it's a discretion thing, because it's great to be a planner. It's great to put yourself out there. I think if something in dating particularly is really stressing you out, you should just go for it and get your answer yourself. Plan the second date, ask the person out, no matter who you are, what your gender is. However, if you are someone who plans a lot and finds yourself constantly in the position of being the one who makes the grand gestures and you kind of want other people to do the brave thing, to do the planning, to do the vulnerable, intimate thing, instead of doing it for them, just sit back and wait. Instead of teeing it up, or let's say you're not doing it for them, but you're teeing it up for them, giving them all the ingredients they would need to hit a fucking home run. Like, how about we just sit back and let other people show up how they are going to show up? Because because truly, I think a lot of the time, people will show up and they will step up and they will do the planning. They will do the grand gesture. They will make themselves vulnerable if you know, you're on the same page and that's really where things are going, friendship, relationship, or otherwise. I think a lot of times people will step up. But perhaps we just haven't given them the space and time to. Fuck. I get it. Bitch, I wish everybody operated on my time schedule. It would be fucking awesome if everyone was inside my brain. It could just do it the way I want to do it. But gentle call out, Miss Maddie. Other people don't operate on your time schedule. And it's nice to give people the grace to show up as themselves and to also trust that other people have it in them to do the courageous, brave, scary thing. Give people the space to do those things themselves. And I think a lot of times they do. And if they don't, and you find that you are constantly the one doing the scary thing, doing the grand gesture, being the more thoughtful one, then perhaps this is a mismatched relationship. You know? But we learn that in time. Not by constantly teeing up other people so that they can hit home runs with us. And also not by bottling up our emotions and keeping them to ourselves. It's a twofer, and I appear to have nailed one half of it, and I'm still working on the second half. Does any of what I just said make sense? I don't know. I just think in reflection, I tee people up too often, and I also... sometimes my expectations for people are a little unfair and they more come from a place of other people not behaving exactly the way that I would behave, not necessarily doing anything wrong. You know, I'm just like so type A that when other people aren't also type A, I'm like, TikTok, what are we doing, people? So I need to chill out for two reasons. One, because I need to allow other people to step up and impress me all on their own without me making it easy for them. And also I need to chill out because people will step up if only you give them the time and space to. And I understand why my gut reaction is to just be like, hello, TikTok. And it really is an exercise in acceptance for me to accept that other people, their brains don't work the way that mine does. And some people are more comfortable living life at a leisurely pace than I am. Okay. That is the truth. I like things to be done a certain way. This is why I live alone. Okay. I'm aware about this, about myself. And I am doing some internal work to work on letting go and letting other people show up and do their own grand gestures and make their own, you know, acts of courage happen. Because they can and they will. I just need to give them the space to be their own people. Oh. It's all about balance, right? Because I even think that the trait about myself that I'm criticizing right now is a positive trait. You know, the part of me that is very organized and type A, the part of me that is very open and vulnerable and honest. These are great things. All in regulation, you know, like these are great traits that can have like saltier sides to them. And life is about learning about that and just clocking it when it comes up. So I'm clocking it because I've noticed this about myself, especially just in this period of singlehood where, you know, the last year of my life, I have been single and not looking. And yeah, dating just hasn't, not that I wasn't open-minded. I'm always open-minded, but it's just dating is not a big part of my life right now. And I... who knows when it will be again, but yeah, in reflection in this period in time, realizing that if I want to find the thing that I say I want, I have to let people show up and impress me I have to give people the space to be their own people and do the scary thing, and I can't do the scary thing for them. And they're going to operate on their own time schedule and not mine. But God, wouldn't it be so awesome if everyone worked on my time schedule? That'd just be fucking sick. Let's get into some audience submissions. As always, there is a submission box where you can submit any and everything, all your juicy secrets, all your dramas, in the description of this episode and every episode, in case you'd like to submit something for me to maybe talk about in the next episode. Hi, Maddie. Watching your latest episode made me wonder about how far one should go when it comes to petty friend group drama. I was at a party when this girl in our friend group drunkenly said some fucked up shit about my best friend, and I immediately told my best friend and later other members of the group. I felt justified in doing so because we were all closer than the drunk girl. Also, she said what she said. But now I feel guilty that she's going to lose all her friends or have to deal with this weird fake energy from all of us. I probably should have only told my best friend, but I guess what I'm asking is, where do you draw the line when it comes to talking shit? To be honest with you, I don't think it sounds like you talked shit. It sounds like you just talked about an event that actually did happen. You know, like, you can't save people from the consequences of their own actions. If one of your friends is drunkenly talking shit about one of your other friends, you hear it and then you tell your friend and other members of the group, like, she was saying something fucking crazy about you when she was drunk. That is not talking shit. That's like protecting your bestie. You know what I mean? Like, if you have someone in your friend group that's being a fucking bully when they're drunk, that's a problem. That is a problem. And you can't protect them from the consequences of those actions. You're not responsible for what other members of the group choose to do about this with this information. They acted that way. You simply told other people that that is what actually happened. She was the one who chose to be fucking nasty for no reason. And how other people choose to handle that or choose to sit with that is not your problem. You may have heard her talking shit, told your best friend, and now you're like uninterested in being friends with her because that's your fucking bestie and you're gonna ride for her. That's just loyalty to me, right? Other people in the group might still be fine being friends with her. That's not your choice to make, right? All you can do is make your own choice. If you don't feel comfortable being friends with someone who's gonna, you know, get drunk and then become a bully and talk shit about your best friend, then fair enough. I wouldn't either. If I was hanging out with people who got drunk and started talking shit about Ashley, you don't even want to know how I would act. You don't even want to know the words that would come out of my mouth, okay? It would be doomsday at that house party, okay? You wouldn't hear the end of it. Everyone would go home. I'd ruin the night. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's not talking shit. Like, talking shit would be saying mean, nasty things about someone for no fucking reason. That is what the first girl did. You telling a story about what actually happened or having honest reactions, honest emotional reactions about someone doing something mean is not talking shit. You're allowed to talk with your friends about other people and ways that other people have acted. There's a difference between doing that and sitting at home. You know, when people sit at home, they're like, oh, this girl is so fucking ugly. Look at this shirt that she wore on her Instagram. She's fucking hideous. That's talking shit, okay? But when someone's a bully to your friend and then you tell your friend and other people about it, that's not talking shit. That is being a good friend, right? If someone was talking shit about Ashley and I overheard it, not only would they get an earful, but I would tell Ashley, I would tell Ellie, I would tell Mika, all of them would know. I'd be like, rally the fucking troops, okay? We've got to get aligned on a group message here. They were trying to fuck up our girl. What the hell? Like, it would just never happen. Some people have different values when it comes to friendship. You're not responsible for other people's values, right? You can only show up how you show up. You're a loyal friend. You want to defend your best friend when someone's talking shit about them. I support you 100%. I think that's the right thing to do. And ultimately, the person who is in the wrong here is the person who is talking shit for no fucking reason. That is the thing that shouldn't happen. You regurgitating that information to your friend as like a warning of like, this person talks shit about you so you fucking know. So I'm no longer associating with that. And I hate that they said that about you. And I love you so much, and warning other people about it too. It's like, that's just, that is what happened. You're telling a story. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not coming from nowhere. Talking shit to me is when it comes out of fucking nowhere and you're just being a hater. But reacting to someone's behavior, that's just the consequences of their actions. You can't control that. You can't save them from that. That is ultimately their own journey to go on. And also, like, apologies can happen. And, like, it, depending on, I don't know what was said. So it's hard for me to have, like, a full reaction here. I don't know how big or small what was said was. But, like, let's say this girl comes to your best friend and is like, I'm so sorry that I said that. That was super fucked up of me. I was drunk and ultimately I had a shitty day because XYZ happened and I was feeling really insecure and I absolutely just projected it onto you to make myself feel better, and that was fucked up and wrong. I am genuinely so sorry. And yeah, I just needed you to know that. And maybe your best friend will hear that and be like, you know what? That seemed like a heartfelt apology, so I'm going to accept that. And then the rest of you are like, all right, if you accept that and it's fine with you, then I'm also fine with her now too, right? I'll always have my eye out. I'll always, you know, I'll never forget what was said and what happened because I ride for my besties till death, right? But if my best friend is going to forgive you and she was the one that was talked shit on, then I will forgive you too. You can't take away people's consequences for them, though. You know, I understand, and this kind of even connects to what we were just talking about before, but like, I understand why you would then feel bad and be like, oh my god, well, what if they lose all their friends and this none of these people want to be friends with them anymore because I told them they were talking shit? But it's like, it's not because you told them they were talking shit, is because they were talking shit. You can't save people from their own consequences. You can't make things all beautiful and perfect and fine and whatever for them. People choose to act the way they're going to choose to act. Other people will react to those actions. Consequences will be delivered. Apologies can also be delivered. Reconciliation can also happen, right? But yeah, I don't see anything wrong with retelling a story of what happened and then reacting to that with your other friends. To me, talking shit is stuff that is baseless and has like no reason for being said. When someone wrongs you or someone you love, you're allowed to talk about that 100%. What I will say though is try not to give her any weird fake energy. If you don't want to be friends and this is the reason why, say that. Make clear that like she did some fucked up shit when she was drunk and that's why you're distancing yourself and whatever. Don't just be like silent about it and petty, you know? But that's all I'll say. I don't think there's anything wrong with telling people about it. Hello, Maddie. I would love your perspective on this. Do you think it's normal to have doubts within a long-term relationship? I've been with my boyfriend for almost 5 years now and have always imagined a future with him. I love him so much, and on paper, our relationship seems perfect. However, I've recently been feeling doubts about whether I truly want to spend the rest of my life with him and whether he's truly the perfect match for me. These feelings are confusing because, like I said, I love him with my whole heart. We haven't had any problems recently whatsoever, and I can definitely see a future with him. I guess what I want to know is whether you think these doubts are a normal part of a relationship or whether you think this is a sign I should take. Do doubtless relationships exist? Here's what I'll say. I don't think that it's abnormal to experience doubt in a relationship. I think that doubt is really I'll frame it here as like more of a neutral thing. It's a call in. If you're experiencing doubt in your relationship, I don't necessarily think that needs to be like a red flag. End the relationship, get out of there, move, run. Like, I don't think that doubt has to be like, you know, a sign of the end times. I think feeling doubt is more just a sign to interrogate within yourself what it is about your relationship that is bringing up those feelings for you. Where do those feelings come from? What instances are they attached to? Is it attached to like an image of what you thought a relationship would look like when you were younger versus what it actually is? What about this person and about your relationship is triggering these doubts. I think it's very possible to be in a healthy, happy relationship and still experience doubts. 100%. Human life is complicated. Life is rarely, if ever, so black and white, right? We can have doubts within the perfect relationship for us. Sometimes those doubts are not necessarily coming from the relationship itself and more from perhaps ourselves and our, you know, past relationships, trauma that we carry with us, doubt about how much love we are worthy of receiving as individuals. There's so many reasons why we might doubt ourselves in a relationship, our connection with someone else, whether or not this thing is the one. I also think there's like such a pressure on figuring out if something is the one, which I understand and I get, because a lot of people want to have children and they want this like very classic and traditional image of life and love and whatever. And also it does stress me out because I just think that, I don't know if it's ever that easy for a lot of people to just be like, we met on day one and I've never had any doubts and we're just so perfect and that's the one for me. And I've never had any doubts. I've never ever thought any bad things. Definitely not. That's never happened. Like, I just feel like sometimes people are fucking lying. We're perfect. Everything's awesome. Like, it just starts to feel like it's like a, you know, glitching out 60s housewife that's like, yes, no, my husband is perfect. My children are perfect. My life is perfect. This marriage is awesome. I've never thought anything different. I've never had any doubts. Like, having doubts is normal. It's a neutral thing that's asking you to interrogate that feeling deeper, because maybe those doubts are solvable. Perhaps they're more connected to, you know, insecurities, past traumas, whatever it is. Or maybe those doubts are indicators that you shouldn't be together. I can't tell you which is which, right? I don't think that it is necessarily bad, though, right? I think it could be for a range of reasons. And I feel like comparing yourself to these people or relationships that you perceive as being so perfect, and they met each other and on day one they were like, ugh, and I love you so much and now we're going to be together forever and we'll never experience conflict together and you're the one and I'm never going to doubt this and I'm never going to in the back of my brain be like, is this really what I want? Am I ready for this, moving to this next chapter of my life, whatever it is? Like, and people that tell you that it's not are maybe robots. Because I just feel like that's not how we experience life and move through life and change and something as like intense as trying to build a forever relationship with someone. That's also like a huge promise to make someone. I think it'd be crazy if you didn't consider every last, you know, corner and crevice of doubt you might have inside your mind. Regardless of if it means anything about the relationship or not, it might have more to do with you than with them. Right? But I think it's good to interrogate these things rather than pretend they're not there and be like, oh, I've never had any doubts. It's fine to have doubts. It's more about interrogating those doubts and seeing, figuring out if they are, doubts that perhaps inform the future trajectory of this relationship, or if they are just doubts that teach you more about yourself and this relationship that you should be in. You know, adore inwards, adore to just discover more about ourselves. That is how I would look at doubt. Hey Maddie, I love your content and your videos, and I really value your opinions in important subjects. And now I need some help. I've been in a relationship from age 14 to 19, and now we live far away from each other while in college. Do you think I should break up with him? I feel like I have an experienced life. I don't even remember my life without a relationship. I've never flirted, never done anything since it's my first relationship. I'm also bisexual and feel the need to experience that part of myself. However, I feel such a deep connection with him. He is amazing. I love him so much and feel like I could be happy with him for the rest of my life. I wish we could stay apart for a while and then be together in the future, which is also my parents' love story. Thank you, Advance, for reading that and looking forward to hearing your opinion. So my gut reaction here is, if you're asking, do you think I should break up with him, while then following that up being like, I feel like I have an experienced life. I don't remember my life without a relationship. I've never tried all these things I want to try. I'm also bisexual and want to experience that. Like, you're asking if you should break up with him and then listing out all the reasons why you want to. So I would venture to say that it sounds like you already have your answer. And in general, I think that all high school relationships should break up when they go to college. Obviously, that's not a one size fits all piece of advice. I think it's probably 9 out of 10 times true. You know what I mean? Like, I think 9 out of 10, perhaps an even higher percentage of couples need to break up when they go to college. I think that your teenage relationship is usually not the one that you end up with in the long term. I think statistically that is just a truth. Sure, there are people who end up marrying their high school sweetheart. I think that a lot of those people, like you said, do break up and experience, you know, a different life, explore, enjoy singlehood, build a life outside of your high school relationship, and then maybe they come back together. There is very few relationships that just you meet when you're 14. The person your 14-year-old self picked out for you is also the person your, like, you know, 25-year-old self, your 30-year-old self would pick out for you. That is a terrifying thought to me, honestly. I mean, thinking back, if my 14-year-old self picked out who I was going to marry, it would just be terrible. It would be a really bad situation for us all. You know, I think it's important to have those years where you're learning to be independent. Obviously, I think that being single is important. I think that everyone should experience periods of life where they are single. Obviously, every relationship is different. You know what's best for you, but it sounds like you're leaning in one direction just based on what you wrote. So, if you want my 2 cents, I think that breaking up during college is usually a good choice. You know what, Alex would say? It's always a good choice. Because here's the thing. If you're meant to be, you still will be. I think that if things are meant to work out, if you're meant to reunite, if you really do have this electric connection that spans the test of time and space, you will find each other again. And I do believe that from the bottom of my heart. I think what's meant to happen will happen. If you're meant to be, it will be. And I think taking time when you're young to explore and be single and be independent and build your friendships and just, like, build a life that is untethered to romance, I actually think is really going to help you in the long term. This is not true for everyone, but I do think that sometimes when people choose to stay in long distance relationships with their high school sweethearts in college, everything else just sort of takes a back seat because you're trying to maintain this long distance relationship while you're also trying to build an independent life for yourself, make an entirely new group of friends, and get your degree in a new unknown place for a lot of people. I think that it sometimes just sort of takes away from the attention, the full attention you'd normally be able to give to building that strong foundation for yourself. And when and if you did break up down the line, I think it would make it a lot harder. So, in my opinion, breaking up around college is kind of the perfect time to break up, because then you get to experiment and be single and do the self-discovery thing, pour time into making those new friendships, building this new life for yourself. And that way, if you do come together in the future and things work out, great. But if they don't work out, then you have a beautiful, full, complete life and community to fall back on. You know? I don't know. I'm just, like, so pro being single. And I'm also so pro like building a life for yourself that is totally separate from romantic connections, because I just feel like I've watched so many like beautiful women in life make a man the center of their world, and then when it doesn't work out, they are you know, just left feeling a lot shittier than if they had built a life for themselves separate from that. And I think that going to college and doing life away from your parents for the first time is like the first time that people really get to experiment with what building a life for themselves looks like and what that feels like. And it's an experience that I would hate for people to miss out on. But honestly, dude, it sounds like you already have your answer. All the things you called out in this message. I haven't experienced life. I don't remember life without him. I've never flirted, never done anything. I'm bisexual and I want to experience that. I feel like you know what you want to do. Don't feel guilty about it. All right. And with that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show on Patreon, which today we're going to chat through some insane updates about my neighbors and some kooky crazy things that have been going on in my building. And then being a big bitch. So strap in. Come join the Patreon if you want to chat through all of that. Come join the Lover Girls Discord so that we can continue chatting throughout the week and you can connect with other listeners of this podcast. I love you guys so much. I'll see you next week's episode.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.